Well, welcome everybody to this week's broadcast. I'm flying solo this week. My dear friend and compadre Mark is away visiting family, and so I'm glad that you could join us. And I just want to wish anybody with Irish roots that the happy St. Patrick's Day. And I am one quarter Irish. My grandfather was Daniel Delaney, so that's as Irish as it gets. So, just glad that everybody can join us today and on this special day. And I didn't wear a green shirt. My wife actually did today in honor of St. Paddy's Day. So, so I appreciated that. So, I hope you're all doing well. And Mark is away, as I mentioned, and hopefully he's having some enjoyment with his family. These days with the pandemic the way it is, it's a little bit iffy sometimes about seeing family. So anytime you get a chance to do that, we definitely want to do that. Before I forget, I've got a note right here because I asked Mark to send me his announcements before. Now I don't have the fancy screens that Mark normally has, so my apology for that, but I will actually read them. There is a family day coming on Saturday, April the 17th for, it says Father Hart, it's a family day for the UK, but I think there's, everybody is welcome, but there, I think there's a coffee break or something that's special for people in the UK get the priority. But that's with Richard and Nia Jones and Mark. So that'll be a Father Hart UK event. So, and again, if you want to join that, just get in touch with Mark. Mark will be back next week, so we do have a bit of time. It is Saturday, April the 17th. And then the following week, there is a seminar that Mark's doing, and of course I'm doing with him the first part. It's called Embraced, and that is on the 19th and 20th of April. And again, that's the first part of it. Part A is embracing a childlike heart. And so Mark and I are going to tag team with that. And so hopefully that works out. And then I'm sure it will. And then after that, in May 17th and 18th, Mark and Wynette are going to tag team for the part two of that seminar. And it's the Embrace of Comfort. So again, they're the two announcements that I asked Mark just for the information. I just see a bunch of people saying hello from around the world, and thanks Norman for the happy St. Paddy's Day back at me, so that's I appreciate that. And I think today I'm going to be again flying a little bit solo. And I don't know, of course, we have this saying in Canada, and I trust it can translate into other places where English is the first language, but we have the saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And so what that means basically, if English isn't your first language, is that, when the cat's out of the room, then the mice have a lot of opportunities to do things that they can't do when the cat's there. And of course, I can do anything when Mark's around, but I am going to do something a little different tonight when I am sharing. I'm going to try to use some of my technology here, and I'm trusting everybody can hear me okay. Thumbs up if you can hear me. Often we're, when Mark and I are doing this together, we can do the sound check because we can hear each other. And now when it's just me, I'm trusting that you guys can hear me okay. So if there's any thumbs up or whatever, there is, I see some thumbs up coming. Okay, everybody can hear me great. That's awesome. So Yeah, so I pray for me that this is all going to work out. You know, I am in my 60s now, and you know, again, another saying that you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, this old dog is trying to learn some new tricks, even as you know, sometimes I feel like I get a little bit too much on my plate as far as the technical stuff. But so far, so good, and we're going to see how we go with this, and I'm going to be talking about the restoration of childlike trust, and this is one of the it's a sweet spot for me. It's something that I have talked about over the years. I look back in our archives, because we have archives back on fatherheart.tv to I think 2012. And I didn't go back that far, but I looked back a couple of years to see when I've talked about this before, and I haven't talked about it for a while. And you know, I'm really hoping, and I'm really trusting that the Father is going to do something today. And I believe that this journey of trust that we're on is something that is a continuum. It continues. We just keep going deeper with it. And I just believe that. I just feel the Father's delight and His joy in just this message, because I think it really means a lot to Him when we trust Him. I believe it touches Him at a level. Like, and one of the things that, you know, that when I think about trust, and of course we'll unpack this a little bit more, when we all get to heaven, there won't be the need, in a sense, to have the faith, you know, to believe without seeing, because we're going to be with God. But it's this side of heaven when, you know, we are living in a broken world, in an orphan world system, and we have challenges in our life. It's here that we have a unique opportunity while we are on planet Earth, where we can actually demonstrate our trust to God. And I think that is something that he absolutely is overjoyed with. And I really feel a sense of his delight and his excitement, even as I'm going to be sharing what I'm going to be sharing. So I think I'll just jump into it. And as I mentioned to you, I'm doing something a little different. Ta-da! You see, I've got my slides here that I'm going to give it a go, and hopefully I really believe that. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I feel there's specific things that are on my heart, and I trust that, you know, they're on God's heart as well. Because when Peter says, "Speak when you speak as if you're speaking the very words of God," which can be a kind of a terrifying thing sometimes to feel that that's the case. But I believe that is something, as sons and daughters to Yahweh, I really believe that the Father wants to really speak to all of us and through us. So the name of this talk is the restoration of childlike trust. So I just want to pray first, and then I'll give it a go. So Father, we just thank you that you love your kids. Thank you that you love us and you know us through and through. You get us. You know our lives. You know why we do what we do. You know all the struggles we've had, and you don't judge us. Your heart is filled with compassion towards us. And as we just unpack this idea of trust and childlike trust, Father, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would help me to put words to describe the indescribable, and to be able to share what's on my heart, and hopefully on what's on your heart. And I just pray for each one that is listening, Abba, that you would just, that we would just be able to go deeper into this revelation of trust more now than we've ever had before. So thank you, Jesus, for making the possibility real and tangible that we can be sons and daughters of Yahweh because of what you did on the cross 2,000 years ago. And so we just look forward to, we want to trust. We want to trust you with all our heart. And it just teach us to do that. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Okay, so here goes the technology, and I'm going to see how this works. Now, for people who know me, you know a little bit of my story, so I'll be very brief with this. But for those who don't know me, My background is my dad struggled with alcoholism. My mom struggled with people pleasing, and when you have those two unique dynamics come together, and they have children, the result was I was an extremely driven little boy. I was hyper vigilant. I had a difficult time resting. I was always trying to anticipate the future. The way that I was able to get my father's attention was through performance, whether it was getting straight A's in school or winning judo tournaments or later on, you know, in a career. But, you know, I just had this sense where I was always trying to figure out what could go wrong and then trying to manage what that looked like. And so I experienced a lot of success in school and sports and in business even. And even in the church circles, my drivenness made me a high demand in ministry and church too. And I think this is one of the challenges that we can deal with when we're talking about the Father's love and beginning to learn to believe that our value to God is separate from our performance. Because often in the world system that we're in, everything that is measured and valued and judged is based on what we do. And if you stop doing, then it's you lose your value. And of course, that isn't the case with God. But until we get our hearts healed and until we get to a place where we believe we're loved because we're loved because we're loved, we can struggle to try to gain love by doing things. And as my friend Jack Winter used to say, there's nothing we could ever do to make God love you any more than he does right now. And there's nothing that we could ever do to make him love us any less. But, you know, as in the early days of my life, you know, I just was a high achiever. You know, some people would call me an A-type personality. And I experienced a measure of success in what I did. But the success was very external. I struggled with peace. I struggled with having rest. And I didn't know why at the time, because I just felt like I was on this treadmill, this, you know, hamster wheel of performance that I could never get off it because there was always something else to achieve. And it's interesting, if anybody's taken the Strength Finder personality test, I think you have five major strengths that are identified when you do this Strength Finder personality test. And one of my strongest traits was called a futurist. And the definition is you probably need to know what the future holds before you can focus on the day's activities. And so anybody who knows me, who's a friend of mine, like, who gets me, knows that this is a part of my DNA. I, you know, maybe the redemptive part of that is, I'm pretty good at strategy. I'm a strategist. I can anticipate things that can go right or wrong. I try, you know, but of course that is rooted in being a little boy, not wanting to be hurt. And wanting to, especially with a father who was an alcoholic, who was struggled with anger himself, you know, I just didn't want to get him mad. I didn't want to ignite anything that would cause him to be mad with me. So I tried to anticipate a lot. And then, of course, so, you know, oftentimes, you know, when we grow up and we have success in life and, things are celebrated in the world system, it's not necessarily because it's healthy, but maybe it's because it's broken. So, you know, this was kind of and I still deal with this today, you know, and again, especially when we're talking about trust, when we're talking about things that we don't know what the future holds, and it takes great faith to be able to stay in the moment, stay in the present, and allow just to trust the future into God's hands. But when I came into this revelation of the Father's love, it rocked my world. It was what I looked for love all my life. And now I realize I didn't have to strive for approval. I could finally rest. And that absolutely transformed me. And I'm at a place in my Christian life. I've been a Christian now over 45 years. And it's almost like, I'm not exactly sure what the exact moment is, but like half of my time as a Christian for like for the first 22 and a half years, I had a powerful revelation of Jesus, a powerful revelation of the Holy Spirit, but I had a theological understanding of the Father. You know, it's only in the last half of my Christian walk, the last 22 and a half years, that I have come into a revelation that God is my dad, and that has absolutely changed everything. So, you know, oftentimes when I look at my Christian life and 45 years being a believer, it's almost like there is this defining moment in my walk where my perception changed, and that was when I realized that God loved me for me and not because of anything that I did to deserve it. And of course, my story is after coming into this revelation of the Father's love, all I wanted was a dad. All I wanted was to make my Heavenly Father smile, and he absolutely, you know, set my heart at rest. And he said, Barry, I don't love you because you've done anything to deserve it. I love you just simply because you breathe. And as a result of that, I created this sermon illustration called Father's Love Letter. And I just meant it for a Sunday morning and in January 1999 after I spoke on the love of God. And it actually kind of took off. We put it on the internet and it went viral around the world. And so many doors began to open. And my kids know it. I saw Kristen. I don't know if she's still on. That's our oldest daughter. But she could attest to this, that I was burning the candles on both ends. I was traveling years I would travel over 100 days internationally, and I was trying to, you know, I had this tiger by the tail, this internet. Yeah, so, hi Kristen, I just see that you said hi. You can tell that this is true. And then I would, you know, I would travel, and then I was trying to manage this and all the responses we were getting from around the world, the Father's Love Letters, and right now to now is in over 120 languages. And so I was just really, really having a struggle with these things. And I remembered, like, I would get overwhelmed, right? Because even though this the global vision that we had was to see the love letter delivered to every person on the planet, you know, God kept us incredibly small. So it was just my wife and I, our kids in our house, and our basement, a small house, was filled with Father's Love Letter resources. And, you know, it was like we'd have to make room to walk around. At times it got overwhelming. And then one time I was in Holland with a Father Heart conference, and during the prayer ministry time, the speaker came and he put his hand on my stomach, and I had this response that it wasn't planned. I've never had it before, never had it since. But I bent over as he prayed for me, and my head, the top of my head, was on the carpet, it was very unusual, and I didn't know what was happening. So I asked the Lord what was happening, and in his love, because I, you know, when that happened, I'm going, okay, I'm going to try to get up now, and because this is unusual. But I couldn't; my head was stuck to the carpet, and he just had this. I talked to the Lord. I said, "Why? What's going on?" And he said to me this. He said, "Barry, you have a busy mind, and right now I'm flushing all of your toxic thoughts into the carpet, just like you've flush a toilet." And the most amazing thing, it's such a weird imagery, but when I was able to unstick my head from the ground, I didn't have a thought. I couldn't process thought. I could like communicate with people, but there was nothing that I could do to process any kind of thinking. And the next day I had to go to England with my dear buddy, Mark Jide. And Mark, as some of you know, because I've told the story, that, you know, he led me by the hand. I couldn't make decisions. I could barely communicate. And I had absolutely not a thought in my mind. And I want to just tell you, it was the most glorious experience to for somebody who is an A-type personality, a strategist, that I couldn't think. And it was a kind of a foreshadow of this journey that the Father wanted to bring me on, where he wanted me to really go into a deeper level of trust. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and he will make your path straight. And so if you understand that here I am, I get my head stuck to the ground, very, very active thinker. You know, I have a hard time sleeping because, you know, I can't turn my brain off. It was like, and then the Father begins to speak to me about trust. And we start to understand that when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we can't lean to our own understanding. It's like either or. If I lean to my own understanding, then I'm not able to trust God with my life. And it's interesting that the Hebrew word for trust means to trust, to have confidence, to be confident, to be bold, to be secure, to cause to trust, make secure, to feel safe, to be careless. It is such a power-packed word that God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to feel secure in Him. He wants us to feel safe in Him. He wants us even to feel careless. And you know, my journey, and as I always say, I am in a continuum with this. It's not like I have arrived. My life is a life where I am continuing to go on this journey, learning to trust and not to listen to that, to the kind of the flywheel of 24/7, you know, of activity in my mind that, you know, tries to manage life all on its own. Because the Father wants me and He wants you to absolutely begin to trust Him. And there is a time after this experience where, you know, we've always lived by faith. We just you know, trust in that the Lord will take care of us, and, you know, we didn't have like paychecks or jobs. We just trusted, you know, in this ministry. And I always had this wonder that when is this going to end? And I was carrying with me this sense in my heart that this ministry, what we do, because we're just living by faith, it could end any month, right? This could be the last month that I'm going to have to go and get a job. And there was nothing wrong with that, but there was something that I absolutely just carried in me. And then one of four of our dear friends came over, and they had a prophetic ministry time with Ann and I. And I shared with him my struggle. I also shared with him about, you know, getting my head stuck to the carpet and how the Father was really speaking to me about learning to trust Him with all my heart and not to lean to this sake, to my own understanding. And when they were praying for me, one of my friends got a picture, and she got a picture of me as a 2-year-old boy or 3-year-old boy in a very kind of chaotic environment. And she could see that, she said, "Barry, you were born with a trusting heart. And you wanted to place your trust in your parents. But because of the circumstances that they were in, they were not able to be able to receive that trust. And so what happened is that trust came back to you. You took it back into your own hands. And then you tried to figure out what could go wrong in life." And she said, "I see you as a little boy being hypervigilant, trying to manage everything, trying to work out everything." And when she ministered to me, she said, "God wants to restore basic trust to your heart." And again, this was another part of the journey for me to learn, you know, what it means to trust. Again, a couple years later, you know, I'm at a men's retreat, or not men's retreat, it was a personal retreat with Ann and I in 2008, September, and we just felt that there was a season that was going to change. And so we went away, and I was going to seek God and try to just figure out what the future is, right? Trying to plan the future. And I was trying to, you know, see what the 10-year plan for God was. And I just, in the day one of the retreat, I opened up my Bible, an electronic Bible. And the first verse that popped up that I didn't, must have been the last time I looked at this Bible, was from Psalm 46:10. And it was just simply, "Be still and know that I am God." And I could not get past that one Bible verse for the entire 4 days we were there on the retreat. And through that, the Father said to me, "I want you to stop everything. I want you to stop selling the Father's Love Letter resources. I want you to stop doing anything and just trust me." And He said, "Let me take care of you." And, you know, I thought when we did that, that, okay, that this might be a journey of another month. You know, there might be a little bit of a lull, and then God would show me something else. I had no idea that this would go on for 18 months. And it was a journey of every month was different. The financial dynamics of our home, he provided, but it was every month it was different, so we couldn't trust in the continuity of the provision. And for 18 months, that we went in this journey. And so this idea of trust has been something that has been in many ways over the years. I've had many opportunities to trust our Father. You know, when our daughter was diagnosed with leukemia in September of 2014, you know, our world stopped. And, you know, we didn't know if she'd survive. And I remember the day when we didn't know if she was going to live. You know, for the first 30 days of treatment, she was in the hospital, and they were bombarding her with insane amounts of chemotherapy just to try to kill all of the leukemia blood cells in her body. And I was just so concerned about her. I was worried about her. And I just remember the night or the day, it was a Saturday, when I heard the Father say, "Barry, can you trust me with Candace?" And it was like there was this moment, this tangible moment, that I was able to give my daughter to the Lord and say, "Father, I trust you. Your care of her is better than mine." And so that was a defining moment. And of course, we had to walk through 2.5 years of near daily chemotherapy treatment. So there was a lot of opportunities even in that journey to continue to trust him. And, you know, like whether it's the impossible vision of the Father's love letter, we live with our mom, and just recently in January, she had major cancer surgery. And again, we just had to trust the Lord with the care of my mom, who's in her mid 80s, and she lives with us, and we love her dearly. And of course, you know, with pandemics and everything else, and you know, my life and is in my wife and I, our lives aren't any different than yours. There are many opportunities. There are many things that we all have to deal with where we have to trust the Lord, right? Because, you know, things are just absolutely too big for us to manage. And if we can manage them, believe me, I will if I can. But oftentimes it's a way of me getting into a place where it's just absolutely just too big, right? And of course, even in the pandemic that we're all dealing with, a global pandemic worldwide, you know, countries shut down, traveling is shut down, you know, all businesses are being shut down. It's like, you know, the so many people are sick and dying, and so much uncertainty. I mean, we are in a place where we have to trust the Abba with his care, his concern, is just that in a situation that is too big, not only for us personally, but for nations and for the world. And I just seems like, I don't know about you, but it just seems like there's always something else, you know, that comes up that you say, "Oh, Father, I have to trust you." You know, for us, you know, we have three children, we have three grandchildren. And, you know, when I was younger, you know, when Ann and I were, when our kids were younger, it was like, "Oh my goodness, you know, once they leave the house, once they leave school and get jobs, then, you know, we're on easy street. You know, we won't have a care in the world. You know, we'll be able to be empty nesters and have the time of our life." And of course, you realize your kids grow up, and then, you know, they still have challenges, and then you have grandchildren. And so there's always things that we have to learn to trust God with. But I really believe that the value that God places on trusting him is beyond our understanding. As I said earlier, that, you know, we have a unique opportunity this side of heaven. When we are living by faith, you know, when we live in an orphan world system, you know, we have this opportunity to trust him with things that, you know, we don't, you know, we have to really commit to him things that we can't see in the natural. And I love Brennan Manning. He's one of my favorite authors, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But this is a quote from him that I absolutely love. And it's, "Trust is our gift back to God. And he finds it so enchanting that Jesus died for the love of it." And so I just want to encourage you in this journey. I truly believe that when we trust God in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the fear, I truly believe that it touches God at a level that he, it's, I can imagine it, like him just being blown away, you know, sitting there on his throne. And this is me in my imagery, right? But just like, can you believe my son? Can you believe my daughter? They trust me, you know, no matter what is happening, you know. And, you know, Job, we know the story of Job, and, you know, Job came to a place in his life. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And, you know, and of course, I truly believe that the Father wants to come, and he wants to really bring us to a deeper level of trust than we've ever experienced before. I did a bit of studying before about the Greek words trust and believe. And it's amazing if you look at the root words of the Greek words, they're similar, and they're also interchangeable. Like in John 14:1, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. That's the New Living Translation. Other Bible translations say, believe in God, believe also in me. But the idea of faith and believing and trust is all interchanged. The Greek word for trust is pisteuo, and it means to believe, commit unto, to commit to one's trust. So this is, again, the, you know, describing the word trust, which is self-explanatory. And it's interesting, in John 6, 28 and 29, this is what it says. It says, they said, therefore, to him, what must we do? And these are people who are asking Jesus a question. What must we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Right? But it's interesting in John 14:1, and you can just see it there, that is the same word. The root word where Jesus said, trust in God, trust also in me, it's the same word. So you basically say, this is the work of God, that you trust in him. See, that is what the core of the heart of God is, that we trust in him. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those that seek him. And again, if we look at the root word for the word faith, and then you see that it is a belief with the predominant idea of trust. So when we start to understand that trust, faith, and believing are all interchangeable, and that they all are really, because when you think about something, when you think of trusting something, it's more relational, right? Like when I say I have faith in God, you can have a knowledge of God, you can have an understanding that you know he will provide. But when you say I trust him, it kind of brings it to a very, very personal level, a very intimate level. So it's a heart level. I trust you, Father. It's not just I believe you, I believe what you say. It's I absolutely trust you. And it's interesting, you know, oftentimes there's all these passages of scripture where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's frustrated with them, right? And in the King James, you know, where they don't demonstrate faith, and then Jesus responds in the King James as, "Oh ye of little faith," right? It's like Jesus is disappointed with his friends, right? But the complete Jewish Bible, and it's not a Bible that I read, but I just absolutely love how the translators for this particular translation chose to not say, "Oh you of little faith," but every time that Jesus said those words in the New Testament, they translated it, and you can see it in the yellow, "So little trust you have." You see, then you could start to understand when Jesus is speaking to his disciples and they don't trust him, right? Little faith is trusting too little. And so, in the complete Jewish Bible in Matthew 6, when Jesus is talking about, you know, you're trusting too little about food, clothing, and shelter. You could feel the pain. You don't trust me. Think, you know, and when Peter was walking on the water, then he sank. It's the same thing. Oh, you of little faith. Then the complete Jewish Bible says, oh, you trusted too little. You see, if my kids didn't trust me or my wife didn't trust me, that would cut me to the quick. Because this is the very core of relationship. And so when we begin to understand that when we live in fear, when we live in anxiety and doubt, that causes us to try to fix things and manage things. You know, God is saying, I will be that for you. Cast all your cares on me because I care for you. And then we begin to understand that he's not like he's judging us or angry, but he's hurt. Because he wants us to trust him because he's a good father. It's interesting, the halfway point, now I haven't done it, you know, right to the verse, but I read that the halfway point of the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. And this is the King James. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And if that is in fact the halfway point of the Bible that defines, you know, the page count, then I think that is an appropriate halfway point as far as I'm concerned. In 1 John 4:16, and this is again the New Living Translation, it says, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in him. You know, some translations say, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us, or the know and believe the love God has for us. But in the New Living Translation, it says, and we have put our trust in his love. Isn't that amazing? And you know the story of the centurion, right? Now, this is, he's not a Jew, you know, he's a Roman soldier, and you know, Jesus, his servant's sick, and so Jesus says, okay, I'll come to your house and you know, we'll heal your servant. And the centurion responded by saying, you know what, I'm a man under authority, I know how this works, and that's my paraphrase, I'm not worthy that you come to my house, just say the word and it'll be done. So this Gentile that's saying to Jesus, you know, you just say the word and it's good. Right. And so this is the Message translation of verse 9 of Luke 7. It says, taken aback, Jesus addressed the accompanying crowd, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust anywhere in Israel. The very people who are supposed to know about God and how he works. And see, this is one of the few places that we read in scripture where Jesus marveled. Like, he was absolutely blown away by the faith of this centurion. But I just so love how Eugene Peterson in the Message just says, translated that he was so blown away by the simple trust. And so this is where, you know, for me, when I think of our Heavenly Father in heaven, we have the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit having, I know they're everywhere, but you know, like, just like if they have this conversation, you know, when they're talking about their son or daughter and say, look at that, they're trusting us, and they marvel. And you know, when we think of faith, you know, it puts it in a different dynamic. But when we think of it as trust, it brings it into a whole different relational place. And, you know, even Jesus, he trusted his Father on the cross when he said, into your hands do I commit my spirit. You see, Jesus trusted his Father to raise him from the dead. He committed him. And it's interesting, I've read two different articles to substantiate this, but when Jesus prayed, said those prayer, the words, into your hands do I commit your spirit, my spirit, it was part of a little Hebrew children's prayer that they would pray at bedtime. And so when you just think about even that, you know, that the Son of God just suffering like he suffered in just unimaginable pain and suffering, entrusted, you know, his care to his Heavenly Father on the cross, and it was part of a little Jewish children's prayer. It absolutely is amazing. You know, when we know the story in Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 29, where this man comes and he wants Jesus to heal his son. Jesus looks at him and says, do you believe? And the man with tears cried out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And it's amazing how honest he was. Like he didn't say, oh, yes, I believe. Amen. He was transparent and authentic. And I just believe in our journey to go deeper into trust, I believe the Father just values that kind of authenticity. So he said, I believe, but the areas in my heart that I don't believe. And you know what? That was an honest prayer, and that was enough for Jesus to heal his son. It would be like us saying about trust, Lord, I trust, but there's areas that I don't trust you. Help my mistrust. And I just want to encourage you today in your journey of trust that God would just be able to to help you to see the value of trusting God, that He is trustworthy. He is a good Father, and He wants us to trust Him. You see, God is faithful even when we are not. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, even if we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself, right? And then the Messenger, and I just turn it that way. If we give up on Him, He does not give up, for there's no way He can be false to Himself. You see, the reality is it's not about our faith. It's about our Father's faithfulness. So when we trust, it's not in our ability to trust, it's in our Father's trustworthiness, that He's a good Father and He gives good gifts to His kids. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says in verse 7 that love always trusts. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You see, this is something that you and I can take to the bank. That, you know, our parents have failed, our governments have failed, our employers have failed, maybe our spouses have failed, our children have failed. But love never fails. The love that comes from the Father. And I just pray, and I believe that today, that the Father wants to just come to each and every one of us, and He wants to really reassure us that He's trustworthy, and He loves it when we trust Him. Our confidence is in the faithfulness of our God. No matter what we do, He will remain faithful. Even when we doubt or struggle with mistrust, our Heavenly Father understands us, because He's the God of comfort and the Father of compassion. Because that's the kind of dad we have. And I just believe even today, I believe the Father wants to come to us and convince us more today than yesterday that He's trustworthy. You know, we're all dealing with issues. We're all things that are too big for us to manage. I know in our own personal life, there are things that we're dealing with that we have to cry out to God and say, Father, we have to just absolutely trust You with this. King David learned to trust at his mother's breast. In Psalm 22, verse 9 and 10, he says, yet You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in You, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast upon You. From my mother's womb, You have been my God. You see, he learned to trust at his mother's breast. But many of us have not learned how to trust from our parents. But the truth is, and I just feel like I can't state this clearly and strongly enough, the truth is you were created with a trusting heart. Your Heavenly Father designed you to be a love sponge. You were created in love, by love. God created you with a trusting, open heart. You were born with a beautiful innocence. You had no knowledge of right and wrong. You were authentic, loving, and responsive to those who would love you or should have loved you. And I really believe the Father wants you to know that. You were completely dependent on those who were entrusted to your care. You had a beautiful trusting heart and believed everything your parents told you. In the development of the human brain, they say from the age of 0 to the age of 7 that a little child believes everything their parents tell them. When you think of the things that were told to you or not told to you or not shown to you or things that were done to you, you know, we can understand the absolute devastation in those first 7 years of life where trust was violated to our hearts. See, your parents were like God to you, because they were in essence the custodian of you until the time when you would know that He is father and mother to you. He is the ultimate parent. But God entrusted your care to your parents. But because of the brokenness of the fall of Adam, from every generation back to the garden, hurting people have hurt people. And God understands this, and He wants to bring healing to us. See, the reality is, in the most vulnerable time of your little life, you were supposed to be loved perfectly. You were supposed to be protected from all harm. And your God-given destiny was meant to be affirmed by your parents. That was His design. That was His intent for your life. Your little life was meant to be shaped by your loving parents. Your mother was meant to nurture you, to care for you, and protect you. She was meant to affirm you that you belonged into this world. Your dad was meant to protect you, provide for you, and affirm your God-given identity. He was meant to teach you about justice and prepare you for the world. He should have been your greatest encourager. And I'm just saying this to you, it wasn't your fault that trust was broken. I remember when our friends came to our house and they ministered to us and they prayed about this broken trust when they saw this three-year-old little boy just wanting to trust somebody, and there was nobody that he could place his trust in, so trust came back to him. And I can't imagine how important it was when I heard her say, "Barry, the Lord says it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault." You see, so many times in our life we struggle because we blame ourselves for things that why do I have trust issues? Why do I struggle with these things? You were born with a trusting heart, and trust was broken. And again, it's not about blaming your parents. It's not blaming anybody. It's about understanding the human condition, the human experience, that we are in a fallen state. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus is that he's come to restore what was lost in the garden. And I just believe that the Father wants to come and he wants to bring healing to you. He wants to teach you how to restore the childlike trust you lost when you were little. He understands why it's so hard for you to trust him, and his heart breaks for the pain that you have endured. You see, because he is a perfect father. He is a father of compassion. He gets you. He understands everything about you. He knows when trust was violated. He knows that you have been wounded in areas where it's difficult to trust. But my encouragement to you, while opening your heart again might seem scary, your Heavenly Father will lovingly, patiently, gently lead you to that beautiful place of childlike trust again. I truly believe that. You see, when we were little kids, for a lot of people, it wasn't safe to be little because every adult was big. You weren't in control. And, you know, the anger or the disapproval of your parents could just devastate your little heart. And so oftentimes what we try to do is we try to make as much space between when we were little to when we were adults and get there as quickly as we can. But when we have this wounding that has happened when we were little children, you know, that it's like we carry that wound. We try to compensate for that the rest of our lives. We develop coping mechanisms to try to manage the anxiety and the neurosis and the fear and all the things that we struggled with. A friend of mine is a medical doctor in addiction medicine, and he talked about that so much of the adult trauma of addiction found its roots in childhood. And I truly believe that there is a restoration that the Father wants to give to you and I. And he wants to be able for us to dare to dream that it is possible to trust again. And so my question for you would be, would you be willing to reach out your little hand to God? Even the prayer, "Father, I trust you. Help my areas of mistrust." I believe that is the prayer that he will answer, because he loves you. And he is the Father you're looking for your entire life. So I just want to, as we wrap up, I just want to put the music on. And I just want to, just encourage you to invite love to come. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there would be something in you that would awaken the areas that you really struggle to trust. Areas that you feel anxious, the areas you feel overwhelmed, or areas that are way too big for you to fix. Father, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that your love would come to each one of your little ones. Abba, you know what we've gone through. You know the struggles. You know the disappointments. You know the devastation. And you understand us through and through, and you love us with all your heart. And Father, the desire of your heart is that we would trust you with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. Because you are a good Father. You are not like any earthly father or mother who would disappoint us, who would violate trust. You are trustworthy to the core. And Father, I just pray that revelation would come in this area for each and every one of us, that we would know how important trust is to you, that we trust you. In a world that's fallen, in a world that's dark, in a world that's broken, in a world that's suffering. Father, we just cry out, Lord, we trust you. Help the areas where we don't trust you. And Abba, I just ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would just come to your sons and daughters. That you would take them by the hand. In your heart, I just encourage you to raise your little hand to God. You see, the reality is, the adult in you isn't the one that has the relationship with the Father. It's the little you that's still alive and well inside of you. It's because it's a father-child relationship. And just like the tree trunk has growth rings for every year of its life, every life experience, every one of your years is represented in your life. And I just believe that the Father is pouring His love into every one of those growth rings right now. Some of you might be feeling pain. Maybe memories that come up that just bring disappointment. And I just pray that the love of God would just come and comfort you. That you would feel His embrace. And I just feel that there's this beautiful gentleness that he's just like, you can do this. I believe in you. See, he believes in us more than we believe in him. And I just feel him just saying, you can do this. Trust me. You can do it. Come on. Take one step. You don't have to have big steps. Just trust me, and maybe something comes into your mind where the Father says, I want you to trust me for the pandemic, or I want you to trust me for your children. I want you to trust me with your finances. Abba, pray that your love would come. Pray, Father, that you would bring healing to every broken heart. Pray, Father, that faith would rise up and we would say yes and amen. I am loved. Be with an everlasting love. That perfect love would come and cast all fear out. That, Father, we could trust you with our provision. We could trust you with our finances. We could trust you with our future. We could trust you with our health. We could trust you with our calling, our destiny. Wow. Just take a deep breath and breathe in His love. Love always trusts. And love never fails. Father, I pray for the grace to become little again for each and every one of us. As Jack Winter, before he prayed for me, he just asked me a simple question. He said, can you be a little boy, Barry, that needs to be loved? And I just asked that same question to all my friends around the world. Can you be a little boy or a little girl that just needs to be loved, that just needs a father? Who will protect you, who will encourage you, who will strengthen you, who will lead you into green pastures, who will restore your soul, who will heal you, who will fight for you. Abba, I pray that the Abba cry would come and that we would know, that we know, that we know that we're safe and secure in your hands. So, Father, as best we can today and in the steps in our journey, we just say we trust you. Help the areas in our life where we still mistrust you. We just want to take one step closer today. Thank you for that love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't seek its own. You're not preoccupied with your own agenda. You believe all things. You hope all things. Endure all things. You trust us. Wow. Love never fails. Wow. Amen. Well, thank you, dear friends. I hope that was helpful. The technology seemed to work okay. I felt like I was able to say everything that was on my heart to say. So we will be back here next week. And Mark will join me. I don't know what we're going to be doing, but it'll be 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time again, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. and until the time change the week after. So thanks so much. And yeah, I just pray you guys have a really wonderful week. See you.